I'm going to invite you all to stand here tonight, and I'm going to read a story from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And the word of the Lord says the following. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Amen. You may be seated. So before I start here tonight, I just wanted to say it's great to be back. My wife Michelle and I were in Detroit for Christmas time to see our family there, and we bring greetings from the church, from First Romanian Pentecostal Church in Detroit, Michigan, pastored by Pastor Dinu Sabo. He brings greetings, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to us all. I know Pastor David knows him very well. They've served together in Florida. And just wanted to extend warmth from the other side of the United States here to us here today. And, you know, although we were visiting and, you know, far from California, we also were able to serve there as well. So just because we were gone here, we were serving the body of Christ in a different place during Christmas time. So we're very, very thankful that we're able to do that as well. But here tonight, I want to take a few moments and share a few thoughts with you all here, kind of in the vein and in the spirit of the new year. Now, this story that I've read in John chapter 6 is a very significant story. Just to highlight the importance of this story, this, besides the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is recounted in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about this significant event. And there's no other miracle besides the resurrection that is present in all 4 of these Gospels. So this was a moment and a time in their lives and in the people that were there that really marked them. Just to set the scene and to set the tone of what happened on that day. This was a time when Jesus and the disciples had a lot of excitement and a lot of grief at the same time. If we put this story in context, we see that in the chapter before, we see Jesus sending out his disciples out into the towns to preach and to heal. And we see in the parallel chapter in Luke chapter 9 that the disciples proclaimed the good news and healed people everywhere. And they were really quick to report to Jesus all of the amazing things that they were able to do. There was a sense of excitement with the disciples, like, look what Jesus can do. Look what the gospel can do. On the other side, Jesus and the disciples in the previous chapter also found out about the death of John the Baptist. So you can see how it was a very high, high, but it was also met with a very low, low. If you remember, Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They were related. If you know a couple of Jesus' disciples, Andrew being one of them, were followers of John the Baptist as well. So they all knew John the Baptist very, very well. Jesus had taken his disciples after that to Bethsaida. The Bible says Jesus withdrew himself. But somehow, Jesus always found himself, and the disciples always found themselves with the crowd following them. You see, the disciples had done some amazing things in the name of Jesus. They preached the gospel. They've experienced the healing power of God. They saw the supernatural power of God at work. But also, having dealt with a crushing blow of hearing that their beloved friend John the Baptist had passed away, you know, that was a big roller coaster of emotions. And as I was reading this passage, I kind of thought to myself that maybe some of us have found ourselves in a similar situation like the disciples have. Maybe some of us in 2025 had really high highs. Maybe some of us have had low lows. Some of us, you know, despite all those things, we find ourselves chugging along, doing our normal routine things. And the beautiful thing about the holiday we just celebrated, Christmas, is that we celebrated the Word, Jesus Christ, that became flesh and dwelt among us, to feel all of the things that we feel, to walk in the shoes of humanity, to feel that excitement, but also to feel the pain of sorrow and the pain of loss. He felt compassion on people. He experienced the joy of healing people from their diseases, and he experienced the loss of friends, of family. And that's just such a beautiful thing about what God did for us, is that he sent Jesus into this world to feel what we feel and to experience the human condition. And that's what Christmas is all about. But here, you know, we have a problem in this story. Or as Jesus sees it, not necessarily a problem, but an opportunity. You see, in this story, we have a problem that was the crowd of 5,000 people who all followed Jesus to a remote area, who didn't have food. They didn't have a place to stay, and it was getting late. And the disciples, as they were looking at the situation and saw the scarcity, Jesus saw this as an opportunity to demonstrate his power. Because one of the things that we can learn from this text and what we can learn from the story, and one of the things I think we can take forward to this year in 2026, is that Jesus is always in control of the situation. Can I get an amen? You know, the Bible says that Jesus used this opportunity, interestingly, to test his disciples. And it's very interesting, the two disciples that Jesus talked to in this story. He talked to Philip and he talked to Andrew. Now, Jesus, to recap, asks Philip, and he says, Philip, where can we buy bread for all of these people that are here? But what does Philip respond with? If we pay close attention, Philip kind of dodges the question, right? And he doesn't answer Jesus when he said, where he says, where can we buy the food? Philip says, 200 denarii of bread wouldn't be enough. You see, a lot of times, and I'm putting myself here too, I'm like Philip. Philip had already created a framework in his mind that it's impossible to feed all of these people that were standing in front of them. So many times in my own life, I see a situation and I see a problem and I think to myself, it doesn't matter, the battle is already lost. Just like Philip. Philip already jumped to the conclusion, whereas Jesus was asking him something else. And we do that all the time. The Lord speaks to us, motivates us, gives us an idea for something, gives us a conviction in our heart for something, and we're so quick to jump to conclusions, even after we've seen God work time and time again, even after we've seen miracle after miracle, after we've seen God provide time and time again, our fleshly nature sometimes defaults to that area and that perspective of, it's impossible, God. I'm just gonna give up. I'm not even gonna go forward. And then Andrew, with a little bit more faith, I would say, does his own detective work. He goes through the crowd and he looks for a solution to the problem. And all he comes up with is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Some of us, like Andrew, maybe go a step further. We say, God, okay, I'm gonna take a step and I'm gonna kind of do things and figure things out myself, but then we come up short. And we don't have the resources. When Jesus makes a promise, and when Jesus tells us to do something, one of the things that I want us to know is that Jesus already has everything figured out. One of the things that Michelle and I talk about a lot is when we're talking about the will of God and we're talking about the calling of God and talking about future and plans, we always remind ourselves that God plays 5-dimensional chess with us. He doesn't just move one piece at a time, but he knows 5 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps, 100 steps, 1,000 steps before we even know. You know, Jesus responds to Philip and Andrew and the disciples with such a simple phrase and a simple call to faith. And Jesus goes forward and says this, have the people sit down. Doesn't even respond to their fear, doesn't respond to their lack of resources coming short, doesn't chastise them, doesn't say, really, that's all you can find, 5 loaves, 2 fish? He just says, have the people sit down. Tonight, some of you, church, might be looking at 2026, wondering what's going to happen. Maybe in your earthly calculations, and your whatever in your brain, the promise of God doesn't just add up. The numbers don't add up. The situation doesn't add up. You say to yourself, I don't see it. Jesus is telling us tonight, just like he told those people, just sit down. I've got it. I know what's going to happen. Don't worry. You know, the word that the Bible, that John used for sit down, actually translate to recline, as in recline and get ready for food to come. Sit down, recline, and let Jesus take care of what he's planned for you. And the beautiful thing of this passage, another beautiful thing, in addition to God always, Jesus being always in control, is that Jesus can often use the mundane for a miracle. You see, 5 loaves and 2 fish was the lunch of a small little boy, the Bible says. In fact, as I was studying for this and reading some things about the text and some commentaries about the text, it's very interesting to see how the word that they used for boy was in fact little boy, like a runt, a lad. The word that they used for bread was small loaves of bread, like nu poine poinuța, right? Or like the word that they used for fish weren't fish, they were tiny little fish. 5,000 people and tiny loaves and tiny fish from a tiny little boy. I imagine that little boy going out to meet Jesus. Maybe he packed his lunch by himself because he knew he'd be there all day. Maybe his mom and his dad or his dad packed his lunch for him, sent them out to go meet Jesus. But isn't it interesting that in a crowd of 5,000 people, the only food that they can come up with was the food from a little kid? And what's even more striking, in my opinion, is the fact that that little kid so willingly gave up the lunch that he had. Oftentimes, many times, God calls us to have the faith of a child in order to see a miracle. Matthew 18, verse 34 says that unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And I talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago, about what it means to be a child in the kingdom of God. And one of them is to have faith like a child. A really amazing example, another example of one way that God can use the mundane for a miracle, is the story of David and Goliath. Now, we all know the story. I'm not going to go into all the details because we've learned it, we've studied it, But David spent his days as a shepherd and spent countless hours becoming proficient at using a sling. David, during his shepherding season, honed in his skill of using a sling, and God used that same skill that he developed later on in his life to accomplish something amazing. Something that might have seemed mundane, something that might have seemed that it didn't make sense at the time, but God used David to save a nation. He used the mundane, day-to-day things combined with David's faith and bravery to accomplish the will of God for the nation of Israel. So in 2026, God can use your mundane, day-to-day things to accomplish his will and his plan for your life. Just because you're chugging along day-to-day at your job, we can be a light where we are at work. If you're working, do it for the Lord. If you're worshiping, do it for the Lord. If you're cooking for your family, do it as it unto the Lord. If you're studying, do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. All of these things, all the little mundane things that maybe we don't attribute value to, God will use that, and God can use that to accomplish his will and his purpose for your life. Now, not many people are called to save a nation like David. Not very many people are called to go out into a region and heal all these sick people or feed thousands of hungry people like Jesus did. But what God wants us to learn is that we need to be faithful in our current season and he will do the rest. Because God will open the doors. God will bring the opportunity. God will bring the healing. God will bring the provision. God can do more with our 5 loaves and 2 fish than we can do with them. So why do we hold on to them? Let's give them to the Lord in 2026 and see what he can do with them. And when God provides, he doesn't just provide a little bit. He provides abundantly. God will never let us fail. He never sets us up to fail. If God took us through 2025, will he let us go in 2026? No, he won't. Our God is with us. Our God is for us, and our God is, it will protect us. So reminders for 2026 from this story that we can learn. Jesus is in control. Let's not jump to conclusions when God tells us to do things. Let's be faithful. Let's do what Jesus tells us. Let's not jump to the conclusion that things are impossible, that they can't work out, because Jesus knows what he's doing, and Jesus can play 5-dimensional chess better than we can. Let's believe that when God asks us to do something, when God leads us to do something, when he inspires us to do something, he has a plan in mind. Maybe we don't see it. Maybe we don't see what's coming up ahead in our path, but God knows and God will provide. God can use those mundane things that we do every single day for a miracle. And God can do that. He can be with us and he can use those little things to bring him glory. And God can do more with our 5 loaves and 2 fish than we can. May the Lord help us this year to trust him, to trust his word and his promises, knowing that he will provide, that he will be with us, and our God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Praise be to Jesus. Let's rely on him. Let's be with him. And let's go together as a church, together in love and in unity. Amen.